You're listening to the Texas Standard.
Looking at the year that was, politically, 2019 was busy to say the least, but we're not going too far out on a limb by saying that 2020 will be even busier with a presidential election and all. So, we thought that this would be a good opportunity to check in with Texas's Republican and Democratic parties about what's happened in their respective camps over the past year and what's to come. We will start with a conversation Texas Standard host David Brown recorded with James Dickey. He's the Texas Republican Party chair, and later in the show, we'll hear from his counterpart in the Democratic Party. First, Brown and Dickey.
I have to ask you now, I mean, because some people would say one thing, some people would say another. What do you consider to be the top story for the Republicans in 2019?
I think the top story for Republicans in 2019 is that the Texas economy once again boomed because of Republican leadership, that we have shown for 15 amazing years in a row that thanks to Republican leadership and thanks to Republican policies, every single Texan's life is better than it would have been without it.
Now, you know what? I bet a lot of newspaper editors would say that the top story for Texas Republicans in 2019 might have involved a certain House Speaker. How do you think that whole issue that went down with Dennis Bonin offering media passes to conservative activist Michael Quinn Sullivan, how do you think that was read by the electorate, or was it? Do you think it made any difference to them?
Well, obviously the whole incident is unfortunate, but as for how it impacts the average Texas voter or average Texas constituent on a day-to-day basis, and the answer is pretty clear that it doesn't. What impacts the average Texan is the amazing Republican policies that have been enacted by Republican leadership over the last 16 years.
Point taken. I understand what you're saying, because the inner workings of politics often that doesn't seem to register with a lot of voters. But what does it do to trust and cohesiveness within the party? Has that been an issue that you've had to deal with?
Well, we have, fortunately, a lot of amazing Republican elected officials and activists. So we've got everybody working together to make sure that in 2020 we continue the string of victories and the string of policies that have led to the best potential for all Texans.
Is that what it takes, working together? I mean, in that conversation, that taped conversation that ultimately led to Speaker Bonin's ouster, he said the president is, quote, killing us in urban suburban districts. And, you know, the narrative as we're looking at 2020, there are a lot of Republicans at the Texas Republicans, even at the national level, who are saying no longer can Republican candidates take things for granted. We're not necessarily the red state that we once were. What do you make of that assessment?
Well, for 2.5 years, I've been reminding people that no one succeeds. No elected official succeeds by taking voters for granted. Mm-hmm. And anyone who understands and appreciates history knows that Texas was never as blood red as people liked to assume on both sides. I mean, don't forget, we've only had control of the Texas House for 16 years. 2003 was the very first year the Texas House became majority Republican. So the people who acted like they could and should be able to phone it in were always, in my mind, not evaluating things properly, nor acting with the amount of respect for voters that they should. But the bottom line is Republicans are working now at the level that Democrats in Texas have been working for a while. The difference is that now Republicans have awakened and we are on the offense. We have gone after Democrat strongholds, and it is starting to pay off. I mean, last year we were able to win back a Texas Senate seat that had been in the hands of Democrats for 139 years. Mm-hmm. That is a first step among many that we intend to take.
The conventional wisdom, and of course that's, you say what you will about conventional wisdom, but you talk to some of the political wags here in Texas, and they will tell you that right now it looks like the Democrats are, they could take the the Texas House in 2020, and they look back at 2018.
Sorry.
No, I'd love to know why you think that's not. It sounds like you don't think that's accurate.
Yeah. So to do that, they would have to hold on to all 12 of the 12 House seats that they won, and win 9 more seats. And the reality is that they are not going to win. They are not going to win all of the next 9 seats, nor are they going to retain all 12 of the other seats. I mean, as I point to the difference in the amount of work last time, I mean, two of the 12 seats that they won, you know, in one of them, the candidate, the incumbent, had $130,000 in the bank on election night. And yet lost that seat by less than 2 points. There was another candidate who lost by less than 3% and who had spent the last few weeks of the election not campaigning in his own district, but in another. Well, that kind of, you know, failure to take the need to earn the vote seriously, and that kind of candidacy where the voter is taken for granted, that's just simply not going to happen this time.
Impeachment, does that move the needle?
It should. It should move the needle in our favor. It was such an egregious overreach, and I mean, for the House to almost simultaneously impeach the president for obstruction of the House, which is an interesting interpretation of the separation of powers between the different branches of our government, and then to try to dictate to the Senate how it should operate. The hypocrisy is so clear cut. And the vengeance on the voters for daring to not go with their coronated chosen candidate in 2016 is really striking and revealing.
So on November 4th, 2020, day after Election Day, what do you think the headline's going to be in papers across Texas?
The headline's going to be that Texas can look forward to at least 2 more years of really successful Republican leadership across Texas.
No, none of this purple state stuff for you, it sounds like.
Well, it is always a possibility unless we do the work we must. But if I'm betting on who is willing to do the hard work, I'm betting on the Republicans every time.
James Dickey is chairman of the Republican Party of Texas. Mr. Dickey, pleasure to talk with you. Thanks so much. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and Happy Holidays to you.
Very Merry Christmas to you and yours too.
Now we'll hear from Dickey's counterpart, Gilberto Hinojosa. Hinojosa is chairman of the Democratic Party of Texas, and here he is speaking with David Brown.
Are you disappointed that Julian Castro and Beto O'Rourke chose to run for president rather than, say, some other office, or perhaps even keeping their powder dry for a possible seat in state politics for a couple of years? What do you make of the political capital spent by both of those very prominent Texas Democrats?
Well, I mean, I think that they made a decision based upon what they thought was best for not just themselves, but for our country and for our state. And, you know, it's not something that, you know, someone who is not the person making that decision can second guess.
Can you not say, you're head of the Texas Democratic Party, and I'm sure you must have thought, well, was this good for the Texas Democrats? Surely you must have thought that through.
Well, no, I mean, we have always believed that both Beto and Julian are individuals that can win a statewide race in Texas. But the decision on whether or not to undertake a national campaign for president is a really personal decision based upon a lot of different factors that only they can make. And so both of these individuals are outstanding public servants, and they will continue to be in the game. Maybe not as candidates this time around, but they will be in the game as people that are participating to ensure that Democrats are elected in this state at every position. I just heard today that Beto, for example, has started an organization where he will help us flip the House and raising money and getting activists to be involved in that effort, which the Democratic Party has made its number one priority this next election cycle.
Well, you talk about flipping the House. This has been a turbulent year for Texas Republicans, given the scandal surrounding Empower Texas Texans and Speaker Dennis Bonin exchanging media access for targeting State House Republicans. How are the Texas Democrats going to capitalize on that, given that to a lot of folks, that's sort of inside baseball, that whole Dennis Bonin fiasco?
Well, it's not so much capitalizing on their mistakes as it is that they have been placed at a disadvantage that they did not think they had prior to this scandal. I mean, we're proceeding forward the same way we were proceeding prior to the time that this scandal erupted in the Republican Party. But obviously, it helps us that the Republicans are in disarray, that they're fighting each other, that their top leader that would have been their top fundraiser is out of commission now.
But if Democrats do make those gains, why will that have been the case? What is it that has changed about Texas politics after years and years of people considering Texas the reddest of red states?
Well, a lot of things have changed. Obviously, this is not the same Democratic Party as before. I mean, we're much better organized, much better funded. But there's also something that is happening today that a lot of people didn't expect. For example, in the House seats that we've been picking up and that we expect to pick up. When the Republicans did redistricting and gerrymandered the House districts in Texas, they sliced them up kind of thin because they got greedy. And so over time, those districts were not as reliably red as they had when they gerrymandered them, when they did the redistricting. And so what happened is that you had, you know, Latino populations beginning to become engaged, registered, and starting to vote. Large influx of Asian Americans as well has affected a lot of these House seats. And there's been a big migration of people from the East Coast and the West Coast that have come into Texas, particularly in a lot of the suburbs. And then the final factor is Donald Trump. You know, he's, for Texas Democrats, the gift that keeps on giving.
Forgive me for framing it this way, but what I hear you saying is basically two things. The technicals, the demographics, that sort of thing are in our favor. And second, we're not the Republicans. But what I don't hear you saying is what Texas Democrats are, affirmatively. What is a Texas Democrat? And I'm not hearing a whole lot of that message overall. I mean, what is it that Texans would be pulling the lever for?
Well, and I think that that's the reason why you saw us pick up 12 seats is because of the message that our candidates have been bringing to the voters. I mean, on the one side, the Republican Party, they're preaching, you know, large tax cuts for the wealthy, gutting public education, and eliminating the Affordable Care Act. And that's a negative factor for them because voters in the state of Texas are not with them on those issues.
True, but what are Texas Democrats promising?
Talking about has been expanding the access to health care for all Texans. Democrats are advocating for a stronger public education system and adequately funding public education. Access to higher education, Democrats are talking about and working towards ensuring that every Texan that wants to go to college has the ability to do that. We believe that that climate change is a significant problem affecting the future of the world, not just Texas and the United States, but the world. These are all things that we are advocating to the voters all across the state of Texas. These are all issues. These are part of the campaigns. These are the policy positions that we are taking to the voters, and the voters are saying, yeah, we believe in that.
So, Mr. Hinojosa, on November 4th, 2020, the day after Election Day, what do you think the headline is going to be in papers across Texas?
Well, I think the first headline, it's got to be Trump gets defeated by a landslide. That's the first headline that I'd like to see. And the second headline is going to be that the Texas House of Representatives is now run by Democrats and they'll be electing a speaker. And we have a brand new United States Senator representing the state of Texas who's a Democrat.
Gilberto Hinojosa is chair of the Texas Democratic Party. Mr. Hinojosa, thanks so much for taking a few minutes out to talk with us on the Texas Standard. It's a pleasure to get to say hello.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.